Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're getting into something a bit different, a very specific, very high-stakes culinary investigation.
I'm excited for this one.
We're diving deep into the source material that chronicles the birth of what its founders call the Chinese Quest.
That's right. And for anyone who doesn't know, this is this like long-running, almost obsessive mission to find the single best Chinese restaurant on Long Island, and now I think New York City too.
Exactly. But what's so interesting, and what you pointed out when we looked at the sources, is that it reads less like a food blog.
And more like a mythological origin story. It's so dramatic.
It really is.
Yeah.
So our mission today is to trace that origin, to sort of extract the gospel behind this whole saga. We're going right back to the beginning, to the moment a simple dinner plan became a collective destiny.
And we have to start where any good story starts.
At a point of failure, a location they dramatically call Ground Zero.
And we should probably mention the style right away because it's so theatrical and, you know, very self-aware. The writers use these aliases, Mi Magnum, Mi Suyan.
Mi Vis Dugas. It's great.
Yeah, and Mi Magnum is like the primary chronicler. He frames everything with this epic, tongue-in-cheek seriousness. You get the sense they knew they were creating a legend right from day one.
Okay, so let's unpack this.
Mm-hmm.
How does a quest to find the absolute best start with defining the absolute worst?
It's a great question.
So we have to go back in time, over 8 years ago. The setting is Huntington, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a super simple setup. Two friends, they're just looking for a good place to eat. They ask the most basic question imaginable. What is the best Chinese restaurant in town?
And they get directed to a place called Albert's Mandarin Gourmet right on New York Avenue. It had the local reputation. It was, you know, supposed to be the safe bet.
A consensus choice.
Exactly. But here's the spark, the catalytic shock. The two friends were, and this is a quote, entirely less than impressed.
And it seems like it wasn't just a meh, it was okay kind of meal. This was a disappointment that, like, left a mark.
A deep psychological imprint, yeah. The source material is amazing here. It says the experience led to a gnawing hunger for great Chinese food that lingered in their bellies and in their minds.
The existential crisis of the spare rib. I love that.
Totally. It's this feeling of there has to be something better. There has to be. But where?
So this is the key insight, right? They didn't just have a bad meal. They established what you might call an anti-ideal.
Yes. That's a great way to put it. By defining Albert's as basically the baseline for failure, what they later call Ground Zero, they created the tension their whole quest needed.
They had a benchmark for what they were running from.
Which is so much more powerful. And I love the little detail in the source that says they, you know, they tried to tell people about this horrible meal, but they did not understand.
It's the classic prophet's dilemma.
It is. The revelation arrived, but the people weren't ready. So the question, the spare rib problem, it just sat there, waiting.
Waiting for the missing ingredients.
As it turns out, the missing ingredients were time, a few more friends, and a lot of alcohol.
Of course. That's the perfect transition. So where does this disappointment finally, you know, ferment into destiny?
Okay, so the scene shifts. We move forward in time. You have a gathering of five friends at a place called the In-Between for happy hour.
And the source makes a real point of this. It wasn't just one happy hour.
No. It was happy hour, or two, then three. This was a full immersion experience.
Right. And, you know, after a few hours like that, the world starts to look a little different. And this is where the setting gets, let's say, metaphysical.
It really does. They're fueled by drinks. They look out the window, and across the road, they see a Chinese restaurant. But it's not just a restaurant anymore.
No. It becomes their Star of Bethlehem.
Beckoning them to its temple. I mean, the language is just incredible in its hyperbole.
So what was this place?
It was the Golden Temple Chinese Restaurant. And they immediately frame this as a religious mission. The source insists this is no fairy tale, even while admitting they were, well, pretty tipsy.
And they didn't just cross the street.
Oh, no. They undertook a pilgrimage across the vast Jericho.
Hold on. Let's just ground this for a second. We're talking about five guys, probably a little drunk.
Probably.
Crossing what is likely Jericho Turnpike, a busy suburban road. And in their story, it's a pilgrimage across the vast Jericho.
That's the beauty of it. Okay. It's that dramatic license. They know exactly what they're doing. They are elevating the, you know, the mundane act of stumbling across the street for some lo mein into a sacred journey.
They're building their own lore in real time.
Yes. They're giving their whole project a sense of history and gravitas, even if they're laughing while they're writing it. It's brilliant.
Okay, I buy that. So they get inside the Golden Temple, and now they're, quote, turbocharged by Chinese food on top of the drinks.
Yeah.
And the conversation circles back.
Inevitably. Rob, who was one of the original two, retells the saga of the disappointment at Albert's, the Ground Zero incident.
And this time it lands differently.
Completely.
Right.
Because now, in this specific environment, good food, good company, high spirits, it creates a, quote, tumult flaming the fires of imagination.
So the private disappointment becomes a validated collective grievance.
Yes. And that question, where is the best? It's not just an idle thought anymore. It's a challenge. It's a call to action.
It's the perfect storm. You need the high stakes, and nothing raises the stakes like declaring a destiny among friends fueled by MSG and margaritas.
And that collective fire is what leads to the big moment, the dramatic realization. The source describes a voice calling from on high.
A voice confirming this wasn't just about finding a good dinner spot anymore. This was a mandate.
And here comes the official declaration. It became their, and I'm quoting directly, duty, our mission, our charge. It became our quest to find the very best Chinese restaurant on Long Island.
And the capitalization of the sources is so important. It's not a quest. It's a capital Q quest.
It's not a hobby. It's a sacred charge. And this is where the symbolism gets really interesting. They frame the five founders with this immediate, almost ritualistic weight.
This is the pentagram part.
This is the pentagram part. They're described as five Jews, like the points on a pentagram.
Wow.
Yeah. And it reinforces this idea that individually they are mortals, but together they are the Chinese quest.
Okay, but why? Why go there? I mean, linking your dining club to, you know, occult symbolism, is that just a joke or is there something more to it?
I think it's both. On the one hand, it's obviously funny and self-deprecating. But on a structural level, it does something really important. It binds the group together.
Through a shared kind of ridiculous mythos.
Exactly. It tells anyone reading, we are committed to this, no matter how absurd it sounds. It establishes the rules of the game. They have to stick together. The quest requires all five of them. This mythological language, it's the glue.
It turns a simple blog into a continuing sacred text. The gospel, according to Mi Magnum.
Right. And it all comes back to that central question. What is the power of collective disappointment when you channel it into one single definable mission? It gives you so much clarity.
They weren't just looking for good Chinese food.
No, they were seeking the antidote to Albert's, the cure for Ground Zero. That's a mission that can last.
It's so much easier to run away from something you know is terrible than to run towards some vague idea of good.
Precisely.
So the staying power of this whole origin myth gets tested later on, right? The story jumps forward.
It does. Years later, three of the founding members, Mi Tsuyan, Mi Magnum, and Mi Vistugas, they go back. They revisit the original site.
They're testing the foundations of their own faith.
You could say that. They meet for drinks nearby at a Pancho Villas in Huntington, and Mi Magnum spots it. He spots Albert's Mandarin Gourmet.
And the nicknames just start flowing.
Immediately. Chernobyl, Ground Zero, Area 51. The names alone confirm its status in their mythology. It's a place of disaster, a secret government site.
And despite all the warnings in their own heads, the flashbacks, they go in.
They had to. And crucially, they honored the tradition. They ordered the one definitive thing that started it all.
The big order of spare ribs.
They had to see, had things changed? Had their quest somehow, you know, healed Ground Zero?
And had it.
Absolutely not. And this is so important for the story's integrity. The ribs arrive, and they look great. The source says they were too high and covered the entire platter.
Visually impressive.
Very. But the judgment was immediate and consistent. They were dry, very dry.
The source calls this tasting an epic struggle. This isn't just chewing on a rib. This is like wrestling with your own destiny.
It is. And the struggle leads to something the chronicler says had never in the vaunted history of the Chinese quest happened before.
A leftover rib.
A single uneaten spare rib was left on the plate.
That one rib is basically a holy relic of the quest.
It is. It's physical proof that the mission is still necessary. If they went back and the ribs were amazing, the whole structure would just collapse. The failure had to be consistent.
The quest needs Ground Zero to stay Ground Zero.
It does. Now, they did try other things, which shows how serious their reviewing process is, even here.
Right. What else did they get?
They got Mushu chicken. It was prepared tableside, which is, you know, some nice drama. But even that was just okay. It needed a wee bit more hoisin sauce.
And there was a detail about a kid, right?
Yeah, a really nice detail. The leftover pancake from the Mushu was approved by Mini-Me, who was probably one of their kids. It's this little non-adult endorsement.
That's a great touch. It shows the, like, generational aspect of the quest.
Yeah, and they also had lo mein noodles with shrimp. The noodles were just, you know, standard.
Yeah.
But the shrimp got a surprising thumbs up.
Really? At ground zero?
Yep. It was above average. Specifically, it wasn't dry or gamey. And that's the micro-level takeaway here. Even at Chernobyl, they're fair. The shrimp was good.
But the main event, the ceremonial dish, the spare rib, was fundamentally flawed. The DNA of the place was unchanged.
The original sin remained.
So let's try to synthesize this. What does this all mean for us? We've traced this whole arc from a bad meal at Albert's to this alcohol-fueled epiphany at the Golden Temple, and then the formal declaration of the quest.
I think it means the quest itself is just structurally brilliant. It wasn't built on finding something new and exciting. It was built on avoiding something they confirmed was, well, inadequate.
It's powered by disappointment.
Exactly. The source material shows how this one, shared bad experience, amped up by friendship and this incredible dramatic narrative, became a community, a content engine that's lasted for, what, a decade?
So defining your enemy, your ground zero, is actually a more powerful motivator than defining some abstract goal.
I think so. It's so much clearer.
And the key takeaway for you, the listener, has to be the power of documenting that. By creating that mythological framework, the pentagram, the pilgrimage, the gospel, they turned a hobby into a saga.
It gave it legs.
It gave it legs, and it gives them a reason to keep going. They went back to Albert's years later, not just because they were hungry, but because they had to check in on the foundational myth that justifies their whole group's existence.
It gives purpose to every bad meal you've ever had. It turns a complaint into a charter.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the legend of the Chinese quest. From a dry spare rib to a sacred mission.
And maybe here's a final thought for you to take away. If a single dry spare rib can launch a decade-long saga,
right,
what small lingering dissatisfaction in your own life are you ignoring?
Ooh, that's a good one.
What minor little imperfection, if you actually named it and shared it, could become the ground zero for your next great collective mission?
Something to chew on as you plan your next dinner, or maybe your next epic journey. Until next time, we'll see you for the next deep dive.